Welcome to Environment Deep Dive, a series from the Civil Service Environment Network. Through this series, we aim to explain and explore the biggest issues in environmental policy, talking to experts on topics across climate change, sustainable development, natural resources, and biodiversity and ecosystems.
Hi, my name is Nancy from the CSEN Network, and I'm joined by guests today, David Heyman, Campaigns Director, and Izzy Howden, Campaign Manager at Make My Money Matter, which is trying to make sure our banks and pension funds are building a better world for all. So hello, Izzy and David. It's really nice to have your company today and give us the opportunity to find out more about what you're working on.
It's a pleasure. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So welcome. And what we try to do, obviously, is tap into, you know, what your roles are, how you've ended up where you are doing the fantastic work you're doing, but also your passions, interests and hobbies. So would both of you like to talk a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I'm happy to get started. So I'm David Heyman. I'm the campaign director at Make My Money Matter. And I've been with the organisation right from the start. So I was the first employee here back in 2019 when the organisation was just a kind of idea and a concept. And I had the pleasure and fortune of meeting Richard Curtis, who's the co-founder of Make My Money Matter, the UN SDG advocate, the filmmaker, screen director, writer, founder of Comic Relief, all round kind of brilliant creative mind. As people coming together and thinking about how can we mobilise more money to go towards helping address the climate crisis and how to help members of the public, individuals who were passionate about creating change and having impact in the world, think about the hidden impact of our pensions, our bank accounts and our savings in terms of tackling climate crisis. So they were the kind of the history and origins of the campaign. And I came on board and have helped get the organisation off the ground and oversee all of our public facing communications, campaigning, storytelling, media work, really trying to raise the profile, raise awareness of the links between our money and climate change and support individuals take action, which so they're money better aligns with their values or their hopes for the world. And my background, I'm a Londoner, born and bred, the youngest of four boys, grew up in Camden Town, proudly still live in the area. I'm a long-suffering Arsenal fan. Maybe, I don't know if that helps me get up in the mornings and work on climate change or it makes things even worse day to day, but Izzy likes to mock me about that. And I've got a background working in kind of social development issues, education, healthcare work. I spent 3 or 4 years before this living in India, working girls' education. And after that, I worked for the One Campaign, which is a big campaigning and advocacy organization, which helps to tackle poverty and health issues in sub-Saharan Africa. A background in kind of international development, health, education work, and now climate over the past few years.
Thank you, David. That sounds an incredibly interesting and exciting journey you've been on. And Izzy?
So I'm one of our campaign managers. I've been with the campaign for, I think, a bit over 3 years now. And I lead on our pensions campaign work. So this spans from, as David mentioned, some of our public campaigning. So that's engaging individuals on the power of their money and doing that through storytelling and creative ideas to get people engaged on what can be quite an alienating and somewhat boring topic. But we're trying to change that. And then alongside that, there's a lot of engagement with the pensions industry themselves. We have really good relationships with a lot of the largest pension funds in the UK. And we use those relationships to advocate for the change that we want to see and leverage the pressure that we see elsewhere from our campaign through the public and also through businesses as well. So it's quite a nice varied role. I quite like the different hats that I have to put on with the kind of public creative campaigning, thinking how we tell this story in an exciting way, and then also engaging with pension funds on their climate reporting and things like that. And I quite like that those different aspects really work in tandem, and we found that's a really good broad sort of tactical strategic approach to drive the change that we've been seeing over the past few years. Before that, I kind of worked more on the client-facing side. So I worked with charities and startups working in the environmental space on how they can kind of maximise their impact through campaigning and different sort of creative strategies. And then in terms of my interests and hobbies, David said he's an Arsenal fan. I'm faring worse because I'm a Leeds fan, so I'm actually have the worst end of that deal, even though you wouldn't know it by how much I riff into David about his team. But beyond that, I'm really passionate about the environment. Before I came across Make My Money Matter, I'd been vegetarian for the better part of 10 years, really cared about my own impact. I'm really passionate about slow and sustainable fashion. I'm an avid secondhand shopper and I also make my own clothes. So I kind of viewed myself as someone really engaged on this topic. And then I came across this campaign and thought, wow, I've never considered my money as part of this. And it was kind of a light bulb moment that I had. And then I was lucky enough to make my way and kind of join the campaign itself. But I feel that really equips me with some of the understanding of what a lot of our supporters and the public that we try and engage, the steps that they go through when they have this kind of awakening moment around the power of their money. So, yeah, I feel really lucky to actually work on this and as part of the campaign.
Again, really interesting journey that you've been on to get where you are and how meaningful it is to you, and interesting in terms of you both having similar interests in football but opposing, well, different teams. So interesting how that plays out in the workplace. It's really interesting and really valuable for us to understand people's motivation and be inspired by it. So thank you very much. It'd be really interesting to just hear a little bit more now about Make My Money Matter. So it's a really, I think, impactful, it's zesty in its messaging, and which is really effective. I just want to know a little bit more about how it started.
So just kind of building off what I said earlier, I think there were two interwoven problems which the campaign was set up to address. The first being, I think what everyone would recognise is a need to get more money going towards important issues, be that social development issues and also environmental issues. And a realisation really that volume of money wasn't going to come from individuals, from our pockets in terms of charitable giving. And it also wasn't going to be coming from governments. Governments are really stretched in terms of the finance they have available right now, and particularly at the scale we need to meet the Paris climate goals and the SDGs. And so a kind of conversation about how we can get more money from the private sector, from big private financial institutions like investors, like banks and like pension funds, going towards the investments, opportunities and businesses which are going to help tackle the crises we face rather than cause them. So one conversation, how can we get more money going towards good things at its most simple? The second conversation was a kind of reflection on the fact that we were seeing a real rise in individuals in the UK and beyond thinking about how they can have a positive impact in the world. From, as Izzy was talking about earlier, the clothes we wear, to the food we eat, to how we travel, to the organisations we associate with, the brands we enjoy, the companies we work for, people thinking about everyday steps they could take to make a difference. But what many people weren't thinking about, unfortunately, was the impact of their money. People assumed the money in their bank accounts or their pensions was static, inert, sat in a bank vault, maybe in Switzerland somewhere, slowly accruing interest. And in 50 years' time, if we get lucky, we all get to cash out on a pension and that helps with our retirement. But our pensions aren't static and they're not sat in a bank vault. They're having an impact. They are building the world around us for better and for worse. And this disconnect and lack of realization led to some contradictions and some accidental hypocrisies between our lifestyle decisions and the impact of our money. And it led to, you know, doctors being invested in the tobacco industry. It led to vegans being invested in factory farming, and it led to the climate campaigners who are protesting against fossil fuel companies being invested in those very same organisations without them even realising it. So the campaign was set up to address this, to help people understand the links between their money and the world around them, empower them to have more voice and choice about where that money goes and the type of impact it has. And then in doing so, we believe that you could help to show the finance industry that the people whose money is being managed and being looked after, us citizens, pension holders, really care about these issues and put pressure on the financial institutions to invest much more at scale in some of the bigger, more important, more higher impact areas that we think, as I touched on to start with the first problem, are needed to address the Paris climate goals and to address and deliver the sustainable development goals as well. So these two interlocking problems were flagged, noted, and we felt that a campaign which focused on raising awareness, driving action, helping people understand the power of their money could really engage citizens and savers, but also change investment practice at scale.
I mean, that's an amazing explanation. And you talked about, you know, raising awareness, taking action and improving understanding of the impact that money is having in a really complex system. I wonder if you know, it's able to, in your next question, in the next answer with the question I'm going to ask you, to just understand a bit more about what impact you maybe know you are having.
Yeah, I can jump in here. So I think kind of stepping back and, as David's explained, looking at the power of an individual with their pension and how greening their pension can have an impact. One of our kind of key pieces of research that's really a cornerstone of the campaign is the fact that if an individual greens their pension, this is 21 times more effective at cutting their individual carbon footprint than if they went vegetarian, gave up flying, and switched to renewable energy. So the reason we wanted to do this comparative piece of research is to put really clearly into words the impact that greening your money can have. And because not many people have thought about the impact of their money, they don't even really know the scale that it can have for them as an individual. So we often like to kind of lead with that statistic because it really leads to that light bulb moment for people around what their money could be doing to carry a footprint with it through the investments that are made in their pension, as David's explained, in fossil fuel companies and the companies driving deforestation globally. So all of us carry this financial footprint through our investments, through our pension, and we want to bring that to light. And even though in the civil service the pension that's offered isn't invested, that doesn't mean that civil servants can't look at their other pensions and look at how they're having an impact. So I would definitely say that anyone who's had a previous job will most likely have had a pension with some of the biggest pension providers in the UK, and there's a few steps that they can take around this. So firstly, you can look at consolidating them into one fund and choosing the sustainable option for them to go in, and that will impact, you know, your kind of financial footprint directly. But there's actually another layer of impact they can have, and this really links to one of our key sort of theories of change as a campaign, is that if you have a previous pension or you might have a future pension with a big pension provider in the UK, as a saver with them, you have power, you have a voice to say, listen, I want to make sure that my money isn't undermining the future that I want to retire into and isn't being pumped into the very companies and practices that are jeopardizing that future. But I also want that for you as a whole, and as a pension offering, I think you need to do better on climate action for everyone that you provide a pension to. So I think that's one of the reasons why our campaign has resonated with people, is because not only as an individual can you have an impact, but you can actually have an impact beyond that by advocating for change to the pension provider as a whole. And I think linked with that is, and again, people in the civil service with that pension, it kind of works slightly differently, but as people within society that engage with companies and businesses, you really do have consumer power in that sense. So when you're also looking at who you bank with, or if you move on to work at a different company, you can leverage that power with the pensions industry and say, you know, we want to make sure our money isn't undermining our values, isn't jeopardizing our future. So can you make sure you guys have a better offering and your climate action is going in the right direction? And when we're talking about the impact of greening your pension and how significant it is in reducing an individual carbon footprint, we want people to continue doing all of the other great stuff and the behavioural changes that are more well known. So, you know, going vegetarian, flying less, and looking at renewable energy providers. What we really want is money to be seen as one of those tools in the toolkit that you can use to reduce your climate impact. So definitely continuing doing those great things, but most people don't realise that money is a crucial, if not one of the most impactful things that they can be doing alongside the others. So we definitely encourage everyone to continue doing those, but introducing money into that conversation is a really key aim of the campaign.
I mean, that's really helpful to have that set out like you have done. And it made me think while you were answering, you know, especially the point around aligning with values. I wondered how easy is it to determine, slightly impromptu question, but how easy is it to determine, for example, you know, really, really strong values, for example, at NGO level, and how well different NGOs are actually greening pensions?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really important point because we talk a lot about individuals and making their money matter and the impact of our pension. But our that's just one strand of our campaign. Another strand is working with businesses and NGOs to get them to take steps to align their company pension schemes with their values. And like you said, because as an individual, we may care about climate, or we may care about wildlife, or we may care about nature, care about human rights. Organisations, almost all of whom, have got organisational values, they've got sustainability strategies and commitments, and making sure that our money is aligning with those values and complementing those commitments is really, really important. I'll give you an example. We've had people get in touch from us from human rights focused charities who have found out that their pensions are invested in the arms companies which are involved in the conflicts that they are working to overcome or support the victims of. And that's not a deliberate fault. That's not a kind of proactive step that organization has taken, but it's a reflection of the nature of how our pension system works and where our money is being invested, and also why it's so important that when any organization is thinking about its impact approach, its sustainability strategy, its organizational values, that its financial footprint, the decisions it makes around its banks and its pensions, are absolutely central to that. And we did a piece of research last year which showed that 95% of the FTSE 100, the UK's biggest companies, have got a sustainability plan. But just 5% of those companies, just five of them, mention pensions within it. And that despite the fact that between those companies, they're investing £20 billion every year into the world around them. This is a huge opportunity for impact, which isn't being realised by leaving a kind of pension out of the equation with these conversations. We're missing a massive opportunity. So as Izzy was saying, it's great for individuals to think about their financial footprint and where their money's going, but equally important is for organizations, leaders in organizations, to think about how do we integrate pensions, banking choices into our overall sustainability strategy and values.
Gosh, there's some I guess frightening statistics in there, but like you say, emphasizing all the potential.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we really try and do. You know, we use some negative statistics sometimes to highlight the problem and highlight the challenge. But the inverse or flip side of that is, what's the potential? What's the alternative? You know, there's £3 trillion invested in UK pensions. That money belongs to each and every one of us. That isn't owned by wealthy bankers or private sector individuals. This is our money, and we should have a say about what kind of world it builds. So yes, there's some negatives going on right now, but I think the alternative, the flip side, is the huge potential of where and what that money could do.
To David's point, is at the crux of it is this money is being invested for a lot of us to utilize in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years time. And the horrible irony is it's currently being invested in the companies that are going to make that world unlivable for a lot of people. And connecting those dots between what your money's doing now, because it's having an impact now, and the future that you want to use that money in is really crucial. And I think that helps us tell this story that David's talking about, because a lot of people think of their pension. I mean, firstly, a lot of people don't even think about their pension in the first place. And when they do, they think of themselves as much older later in life. And that's kind of it. They don't really think about the impact it's having now. So connecting those dots and that really simple message of, are you investing in a world that's worth retiring into, is really powerful. And I think that really gets people thinking about this in a different way.
Obviously, future generations, younger generations, really, you know, feeling all sorts of anxiety around the planet. I would like to ask a bit more about the hidden relationships between banks and fossil fuels and your work in unpicking those.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'll kick off and then as you jump in if anything to add. So our campaign originally started with pensions, like we've talked about. A, because there's so much money in pensions, £3 trillion. B, because they're set up to invest for our future. And C, because they're owned by all of us. So, you know, we started with pensions and made some great progress there. But our kind of, if you want to make your money matter, it's not just about pensions, it's also about your banks too. So we launched a campaign about a year ago now to raise awareness of the what we consider a hidden relationship between our banks and the fossil fuel industry. UK high street banks, the big five, have invested tens of billions of pounds every year into fossil fuel companies. Behind every single new oil, gas, terminal, facility, coal mine is a bank who is financing, providing the capital and profiting from these investments. Yet when we think about our bank account, we normally think about our high street bank and we think about tapping for a coffee in the morning. We think about using the app to transfer money to a friend for dinner, but we rarely make associations between our banks and the financing of the fossil fuel industry. So we launched a campaign to try and raise awareness of this, help people understand that the money in your bank account isn't just again sat there, but it's actually supporting the fossil fuel industry and it's supporting the big banks who are financing those companies. Unlike pensions, it's actually a lot easier to switch bank. So pensions, it can be sometimes confusing or challenging to find out where to put your money or how to move, or you have to do it through your employer. That can be a bit of a challenge at times. But actually, switching from a bank which is performing really, really badly on the climate agenda to one which is performing much better, to one, for example, which may have ruled out financing for fossil fuels or fossil fuel expansion, it's really simple and could broadly be done at a click of a button. All of your direct debits can be switched over and moved over, and you can ensure that your money is actually having a positive impact rather than a negative one. And I think if people are interested in moving banks or finding out more about their banks, I mean, there's some really great services out there which will help show how green your bank is, how much fossil fuel finance it's providing. So firstly, there's a report called Banking on Climate Chaos, and it looks at the world's 50 biggest banks and shows purely how much money they're giving to the fossil fuel industry each year. And you'll get a good sense of who's giving the most, Barclays and HSBC in the UK, and who are giving much less. And of the high street, that would be like NatWest and Lloyds. So if you want to look at pure numbers on fossil fuel financing, Banking on Climate Chaos is a great place to start. And then if you want to look a bit more detail qualitatively on some of the climate policies of banks, there's a great report came out from Which magazine a few months ago, which looks at, I think, 10 to 15 UK banks and ranks them on a variety of different climate measures. So you can get a sense of, again, not just the fossil fuel funding element, but there are other climate policies too. So I'd definitely advise checking out the Which Green Bank Guide and then the Banking on Climate Chaos report. Like I said, our kind of campaign, similarly to the pensions work, raising awareness of the links between banks and the fossil fuel industry, empowering individuals and organisations to take action on that agenda, move your personal account, move your company account, and also trying to show the banks that people care about this. So yes, you can move. You can also use our website to contact your bank, ask them to stop financing new oil and gas, which the UN, which the IEA, which thousands of climate scientists say is not necessary either for our energy needs and is certainly not necessary if we want to keep the planet within 1.5 degree warming. So, you know, you can lobby for change at your bank, you can switch bank, you can get your organisation involved as well. And we think that's really, really important. And, you know, Izzy led on a brilliant piece of creative with Kit Harrington and Rose Leslie, which maybe you can talk about to show how we brought this to life.
Yeah, thanks, David. So as you've kind of alluded to, Nancy, part of our campaign is thinking about this topic in a different way and trying to communicate that in a different way to get people engaged. I think pensions and banks is a pretty daunting topic, but also pretty unsexy. It's not that appealing for people to think about. And with that in mind, we've really approached this campaign tactically to try and cut through that and get people thinking differently. And I think that's actually partly linked to, as David mentioned, Richard Curtis is our co-founder. He's, you know, a fantastic storyteller, creative mind, and that's allowed us to think about how we create content differently on this topic. So for this banking campaign to really unearth this hidden relationship and this really dangerous relationship that most people don't know about, we did a kind of spoof ad around couples therapy, the really popular BBC show. We thought, how can we flip that on its head? And you're taken into a therapy session, and then it suddenly turns out that actually the two people in the therapy session, it's not a normal couple, it's actually one of our high street banks in the UK and the oil company that they're pumping billions and billions of pounds into. And you know, the cause of their argument or fight at that time is that the oil company is really just not happy that the bank isn't screaming from the rooftops how close they are and how much money they give to them. So it ties into that sort of greenwashing narrative we're seeing a lot more of, especially with banks in the UK like HSBC, who've been kind of reprimanded around their greenwashing. And really it's this kind of like fun creative content that I think brings our campaign to life. And when we launched that film, it did incredibly well. We had, you know, millions and millions of views within the first few weeks. And part of what I think connects that with people and makes it resonate is firstly, using humour and a bit of satire. People enjoy different kind of content to engage them and spark their interest. But then I think linked to that and linked to what we've been saying previously is that people can actually do something about it. It's not just a fun bit of film that they've seen on Instagram. It's linked to how they can have an impact as an individual, as a customer of one of these banks, but then also, like David said, as someone who works at a company who banks with Barclays or went to a university who banks with Barclays, despite having divested their investments from fossil fuels, they're with a bank that's pumping billions of pounds into fossil fuel projects. So it's I think that's a really key part of our campaign. And one of the aims we have is bring people along this journey, but then actually give them something they can do about it that can have real impact. And I think for me, when I came across this, what's so brilliant is as an individual, I can sort my own money out and make sure it's not undermining what I believe in. But then I can even go further than that and really get into the kind of systemic issue and keep driving that collectively with the people I work with and the different institutions that I kind of associate with. So I think that film hopefully went some way to kind of conveying that to people.
I mean, I think I think the amusement value of also those films, you know, they're entertaining, they're engaging, there's humour there. I mean, that it really does help liven and bring to life the financial system complexities for people, but simplifies it to make sure people can understand what it is that they need to be aware of and what they can do differently. So brilliant. And then I really liked Oblivia Coal Mine as well. I mean, I could watch that. I could watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah, thank you. That was the most recent film we did where we were lucky enough to have Olivia Colman star as this latex wearing oil exec called Oblivia Coal Mine. And she was thanking pension savers in the UK for giving her all of their hard-earned savings to then pump into her oil business. And I mean, firstly, how surreal that we managed to work with such an iconic British actor. But also for people scrolling on their socials or through their emails or whatever, and you see Olivia Colman pop up in kind of this latex black trench coat with her feet on the desk sipping kind of oily champagne, it's just so bizarre that I think it really captured people's attention. And I think that's really at the core of what we're trying to do, is look at this issue differently. And for a lot of people and a lot of the people we engage with through the campaign, they're aware of the climate crisis, but they're not quite sure what to do. And I think speaking to them differently about different topics with very weird and wonderful spokespeople. You know, in the banking video we did, it was Kit Harington from Game of Thrones and Rose Leslie, and they were the couple on the sofa in this kind of therapy session. And I think having different voices speaking about this really, really helps. And it helps kind of cut through and get this message across in a way that sometimes can be quite hard, because the climate agenda is just constantly moving, and a lot of people are aware of it, but they're not quite sure how to engage with it. So I think using these different and unique voices really helps us get that message across.
It's interesting in terms of where we are, timeframes, with the proximity of having had COP28 quite recently as well. And I think, there's questions around, whether there were particular highlights or concerns for you as an organisation coming out of COP28.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a big question, and I think there's lots within that. I think some of the things that both positive, but also I think we need more of coming out of the COP was, I think, interesting to see a big focus on investing in renewables, investing in climate solutions, investing in nature. I think that was a really deliberate focus from the conference, and clear opportunities coming out of it. And I think that's an exciting development. I think that marries up with our kind of research analysis, which shows UK pension holders and savers want their money to be doing good and invested in the businesses of the future, not the fossil fuel companies of the past. So I think that was a really positive area to come out of it. I think there is a good transition, but probably not quick enough, from big commitments and targets to action and accountability and actual delivery. It's very easy to stand on a stage and make large commitments. I think what's harder is the real detailed delivery of that over the months and years which follow. And again, that's something that we're really trying to emphasize, to track progress, track delivery, track impact. Next month, in February, we're going to be putting out a report looking at the climate delivery of the UK's largest 20 pension schemes, seeing who's leading, who's lagging behind, who's more hot air and who's actual action. And so I think, again, that's an important thing to come out of COP. Obviously, there was the first kind of acknowledgement of the phase down of fossil fuels, the first time fossil fuels, I think, had ever been included in communique text, which is both progress, because that hasn't happened before, and it's good that there was a recognition of this, but also worrying, as I don't think many in the climate community would say it was going far enough at all. So I think there's lots of good noises and good things coming out of COP. I think the worry, as always with this stuff, is time and speed. I think we just do not have the luxury of a slow process or a phase shift on some of these areas, where we just need really urgent action and commitment. So I think that's my biggest concern, is around that time scale and speed.
And to build on that, from one of the things Dave mentioned there, the piece of work we did last year around unlocking the investment potential that UK pensions have to invest in climate solutions, that found UK pensions could invest £1 trillion in it's £1 trillion, isn't it, David? Yeah, £1 trillion. Just had a sort of mind blank there. I was like, it's definitely £1 trillion. That UK pension funds could invest £1 trillion in climate solutions by 2035. But that links to the necessary policy changes and regulatory changes that need to help them kind of overcome the barriers that are currently in place to upscale those investments. So as David outlined at the start, this huge pot of money in UK pensions can really unlock that transition finance that we need. It's just about creating the landscape for them to be able to do that. And partly that comes from the industry and them being more ambitious, working faster and doing more. But it also links to some of the broader changes that can help them with that pace and scale of ambition.
It would be interesting just whether you think there's potential in another area. Obviously, there's fossil fuels, but I think there's research sort of suggesting that the food system, the global food system, is also, one of the largest contributors to emissions and also massively, obviously, to nature loss.
Yeah, definitely. And I think so. We climate is huge and climate change is enormous, and the issue areas which climate change touches on are extremely broad, and the investee companies that are linked to climate change are extremely broad. We kind of break it down into three areas. One, fossil fuels, as you said, and it's finance for fossil fuel expansion. That's new oil and gas. It's not saying no money to any fossil fuel company ever again, divest immediately from everything, because we realize that there's going to be a fossil fuel need for the next 20 years or so. But it is saying no more money to new oil and gas, which isn't already in development, which isn't needed, and which is going to lock us into carbon intensive, emission intensive infrastructure. So no fossil fuel expansion, that's one. The second, as we were just touching on, is investing in climate solutions, investing in the businesses which are going to help tackle the climate emergency, from renewable energy through to the electrification of our transport network and things like that. And then the third is deforestation, which definitely touches upon land use and upon agriculture as well. So if deforestation was a country, it'd be the third biggest emitter behind the USA and China in terms of the emissions caused by deforestation. As you allude to, lots of that comes from agriculture, from factory farming, from kind of taking away natural habitats and replacing it with agriculture and other issues like that. So we run a campaign where we are trying to get all UK pension schemes to commit to removing any illegal or legal deforestation from their investee companies, and to try and work with those companies who are the highest emitters, who maybe not undertaking deforestation but are still heavily contributing to emissions, to get those down as well. So, you know, it's not just about getting out of bad companies, it's also about using the pressure that pension schemes have, or the leverage of voice they have as investors in some of the big emitting companies, be they agricultural or fossil fuel or otherwise, or cement, and using their voice and pressure to push them to transition, to cut emissions, and to kind of lower their impact in the world. So that's definitely an area of focus for us. It's a really important part of the climate conversation, as you address, and so it's something we'll definitely keep working on this year.
Really, really just wish we could talk for a lot longer. There's only really time for one more question. And it was about, what message would you like to send to the civil service, or civil servants? There's those of us working on policy, on programming, working with private sector companies, including on like nature finance, climate finance. So yeah, just.
Yeah, I think the first step really would be go to our website and look at the actions that you can take. If you have a previous pension, or if you move on from the civil service and you have a new pension with one of the providers that we campaign for better climate action from, contact them via our website. You can do that really easily. Sign our fossil fuel petition. This is headed up by Oblivia Coal Mine, asking UK pensions to stop financing fossil fuel expansion, as David's mentioned. So look at your pension and then look at your bank account as well. So you can, through our website, lobby your bank account, your current bank account, to stop financing fossil fuel expansion. You can also, like you've mentioned, if some civil servants are previous students at universities or current students, we've got a really easy function on our website where you can email your university who is currently banking with one of the five high street banks in the UK that we campaign against, can leverage your power as a student or alumni and ask them to choose a better bank for the planet and for its people. So there's a lot of actions, really quick, really easy, that you can do on our website. So that would definitely be the first step. The second step would be talk to friends, talk to family, talk to your other colleagues about the power of their money. We're trying to build a movement around this, and the people power behind it can't be underestimated. A lot of the change we've seen, particularly on the pension side, has come from this pressure from savers saying what they want and saying that they care about how their money impacts people and planet. So definitely spread the word around that.
Just really want to thank you so much for your time, both of you today, that you've taken to speak with us and telling us more about your work. So thank you very much. And we look forward to the work you'll be doing in the future and hearing more about that. And just would also like to thank all of our listeners. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for having us. Lovely to chat.
We hope you've enjoyed this environment deep dive. You can head to CSUN online for more content, events, and networking opportunities. Make sure to subscribe to us on Twitter, YouTube, and your favorite podcast app so you can keep an eye out for new episodes coming soon.